It's a great pleasure to have with me now Matthew Peterson, the managing partner of Peterson Capital Management. Matt has more than a decade of experience in global financial services, including at some of the leading investment banks, before forming Peterson Capital Management and launching the Peterson Investment Fund. Matt split his time between Wall Street and London as a capital markets manager in the financial services vertical at Diamond Management and Technology Consultants. As most of you will know, Matt has joined us in the past both to share his wisdom and insights in a couple of interviews, as well as to present ideas at our online conferences. And Matt, thank you so much for taking some time out to share your perspective on this quite unique moment in history here that we're all living through. I'd love to just get your general take on what's going on, and if you want to tell us kind of what you've been up to in the last few weeks.
Certainly, and thank you, John, for having me. It's a pleasure to be here. These are very interesting times, unprecedented times, as I think everybody is currently aware. Many people are making changes to their personal lives that were sort of thought unfathomable only a few weeks ago. And not to diminish the severity of those millions of people who are directly impacted and suffering around the world. But frankly, I do find in the financial markets that this is a time of great opportunity. It's sort of a generational opportunity. And it is, I don't know how much you want to timestamp this, but it is, we are right now in a very interesting moment in sort of this peak crisis. And it will probably be a prolonged situation in terms of the biological impact of it all, but markets are leading indicators, and I think we're in very interesting times at the moment.
And I'd love to hear about kind of how busy you've been, what your process looks like in a time like this in terms of sifting through ideas or kind of repositioning the portfolio.
Sure. Look, I think it's, John, I think it's wonderful that you're documenting all of these right now, because everybody will have their own nuanced approach to handling things. I tend to structure my day pretty carefully so that I don't get caught up going down one direction or another. There are, first of all, the obvious components of continuing to look through ideas. Many ideas have been researched in the past, and it's just an opportunity to sort of update the thesis on those and look for clear discounts to the opportunity. There's also a considerable amount of outreach that happens at this point. So beyond the portfolio management aspect, those that are running funds are dealing and helping clients with inquiries. And I think part of our responsibility is to protect our clients from their own emotions. And so that has been, I think a 3 to 4 hour a day process throughout this entire period, where people may be reacting or overreacting to certain sort of news and media stimulus. And then finally, there's the ongoing operation, which has to take place. But I think in terms of what you're mostly looking for here, these are opportunities, at least in my view, these are opportunities to shift a portfolio into the highest quality assets available that perhaps weren't available at previous prices or have been considerably too high for long periods of time. So it's a very unique opportunity to, I think, buy strategically through the dips and during the decline, It's very hard to, nobody has a crystal ball. So it's not only is it very hard, but it's just luck to bottom tick this market. It's also very difficult psychologically to buy on the way up because you constantly want the prices from yesterday. So when you find great opportunities to purchase things at very low cash flow multiples, high earning yields, et cetera, very strong balance sheets, I think that's where folks should be looking at the moment.
To what extent are you rebalancing in the portfolio in terms of, you know, even selling some things that are not as attractive relatively as some other opportunities you're seeing?
It's a great question. Our portfolio may be different than some of the others that are part of this community. We have always looked for high quality business models, high quality managers at extremely low or attractive valuations. And frankly, we are doing, despite what my answer was to the last question, we do very little rebalancing, John. We have not sold any positions that we have hold. We have sold nothing. We have been nibbling away at some opportunities. And frankly, I wish we had a bit more cash to put to work. I think that's a common sentiment. We typically are pretty fully invested. We remain fully invested. And we see some opportunities. And as capital is coming in, we are putting that to work. So, but frankly, we have sold nothing. Our current position, we have a concentrated portfolio that is volatile, of course, but I am not, I do not fear volatility around quality businesses. And I think this is simply an opportunity to add to existing positions and also introduce new high quality opportunities to the portfolio.
I'd love to talk about some areas of opportunity you're seeing right now, to the extent you're willing to share.
Sure, John. Well, I'll tell you the biggest opportunity and that I see. It's something that's so rare. In a lifetime, maybe happens a handful of times. But we have this dynamic right now. Just 2 days ago, I think markets were, I think the Dow was down 37% or something, and it was like the fastest collapse in history. Simultaneously, the VIX volatility has reached heights never before recorded in history. And I've spoken to MOI on this before, but one of the strategies we continuously employ, and I know it's a further step than what many people do, is we use what I call structured value. And when volatility is at extraordinary highs, especially local vol around a specific bottom-up security, we find opportunities to write put contracts, cash secured put contracts, as a tool to owning the underlying equity. And what we have right now is this dynamic where puts, you know, modeled with Black-Scholes is essentially a quantitative analysis, very little, there's no qualitative aspect to it. It's time and volatility and underlying price, et cetera. And what we see with these volatility spikes is these premiums have gone to levels that we haven't seen since 2009. And this extraordinary volatility causes counterparts to pay us extremely high premiums to commit to purchasing their shares over a given period of time. And simultaneously, our commitments on these prices have dropped considerably as these opportunities exist. So we have these two opportunities that are coming together in a somewhat almost symbiotic nature, where, you know, instead of, say, buying an undervalued security at a price of 25, somebody will now pay you $10 to commit to buying that security for a year, sort of securing, handing you $10 against $15 in collateral. And if you don't buy the security, you make 66%. If you do buy the security, you have 40% downside and you buy it for a net $15. And that's sort of just generally one area where I think people would really benefit from focusing, because it's a very open space. There's not a whole lot of folks in there. There's algorithmic traders that are using these products and potentially misusing them. The prices are considerably inaccurate at this point in time.
And I assume this is something that would be hard to get up to speed in a crisis. So have you gained experience in this area in the past? I mean, is this something you've done in the past as well?
Yeah, this is how I have purchased securities for since 2005. When I started recognizing this opportunity. In fact, I don't typically find, I don't use market or limit orders unless there aren't the products available. So I have been doing it for years. It is, if somebody has been looking at this a little bit or reading any of my material, I do talk about it extensively. It is difficult to get up to speed on in the middle of a crisis, when everyone's emotions, even fund manager emotions, are giving them whiplash. But it is, it's not that, from a practical perspective, it's not that difficult to understand. We are simply writing a cash secured put contract as a tool to own the equity. And I'll give you an example, John. I'll give you a really simple example. I don't want to sort of list all of the securities we're looking at just because the bias this creates, but there are a few that are just long-term compounders I'm comfortable with. Last week, when I say we're nibbling around at securities, we're using these products to do our nibbling. Last week, everyone here is going to be very familiar with Berkshire Hathaway and the valuations of Berkshire and the security of the balance sheet that's available. And there are better opportunities out there, but it is certainly a safety position in this unbelievable situation we're in. So Berkshire has fallen from maybe 23 to I think 180 approximately. Last week I was able to commit to buying Berkshire Hathaway stock at a price of 165 for a B share. And I was paid $18 for that commitment. In the event that we have to buy that, that would mean the shares fall below 165 and we would be purchasing it for a net cash outflow of 147. So the 165 minus the 18 in premium. And that would be a delight. We would be very pleased, of course, to purchase at that price. We're happy to buy it at 180. I have a model in an annual report where I show, I think, a 1.7 trillion valuation in 2030. And anything at these prices are going to I think, strongly outperform the S&P 500. Regardless, this contract goes until September. It's a 6-month contract. We were paid $18. You can imagine 147 in collateral. The annual return, the annualized return on that contract is 24.5%. And we don't own any of the shares. We have secured an enormous margin of safety down to a price of 147. And we would be very happy to be buying at any price, 165, 147. It's an unbelievable deal. And that volatility is not anywhere near as high as it is on other securities where you can get paid 25, 30, 40% of the equity price for committing to buy the securities a few months in advance.
So let me just make sure I understand kind of then your portfolio makeup. I mean, it sounds like you pretty much have cash in the portfolio and these option contracts out there that create that kind of notional exposure if they do get put to you or exercised. And then that, in those cases, you would actually deploy the cash into the securities. And I assume, I guess you have some securities in the portfolio where you've done that already.
See, yeah, it's very, it's easier to understand than you think. So that is all correct, John. The security, we actually, most of our portfolio consists of securities because the intention is to buy and hold our underlying portfolio. What this does is it lowers our purchase price initially when we're moving into these opportunities. But for example, we do own, I think Berkshire is an outstanding stabilizer in our portfolio and will outperform our benchmark. We do own Berkshire and we own those shares because a few years ago, we sold other put contracts at out of the money, in the money, at the money strike prices. And some were put to us and we continue to hold those securities. So that is correct. Our portfolio makeup mostly consists of equity. But my suggestion here is that this opportunity where the VIX is at such extraordinary level, I mean, we've broken all historical records on the VIX, which means premiums are breaking records, which means potentially, you know, fear is at a maximum and people are willing to pay extraordinary prices to protect their portfolio based on quantitative factors, not qualitative factors, which is why the value community can gain so much from this. So with new capital, with cash, you can put this to work very well, very quickly. You can, you know, every put contract is 100 shares, and so it scales quite well. There isn't a ton of volume. We have a smaller fund, so we're able to get in and out of these opportunities. If you have a $1 billion fund, it may be a little more difficult, but still possible. And so ultimately, there's a tool to enter the position, and it's honestly the opposite of a covered call, which is how we would exit a position. That's the makeup. So new capital will be entered through this process and then we will hold the underlying equity portfolio. And most of our portfolio consists of equities.
How do you actually execute this? Because sometimes the bid ask spread on options is fairly wide, or it's even hard to know what it is at, in real time. How? Just tell us a little bit more about the execution side of this, please.
Sure. And by the way, John, I will add, I used to be so reluctant to share this sort of information, but what I've realized over the years is as much as I share it, people are very reluctant to execute on it. It's one step too many, or it requires an additional amount of patience. But I assure you, this is a very, very advantageous way to enter securities. You're no longer buying in the New York Stock Exchange. Somebody's paying you to buy the securities from them. Obviously, it trades through Chicago Board of Exchange and whatnot. But you are buying for below market prices. So the execution that I use is, I think, very key to the success of this. I am extraordinarily patient and sometimes too patient or greedy or frugal, whatever you want to call it. There are times when I miss an opportunity because I've stretched the price too far, but I use limit orders that are far away from the price because these are quite volatile securities, and I will leave them in the market available to be purchased for an extended period of time. And I will basically, in a rational mindset, calculate the security that I want to be purchasing, the exposure I'd like within the portfolio, the size of the current position, And then I will calculate the net exposure we can obtain through these contracts. And I will go in and it's an option contract. So in terms of execution, I will go in and I will, let's take a basic situation that everybody can understand, like a Wells Fargo. Wells Fargo's book value is almost, I think it's around 40 shares fell to 25. At that period in time, so prior to that period and at that period of time, I was considering, I actually have a place where I test this. So this is not in the portfolio. But I was looking at the possibility of entering contracts at this level. So take any security, it doesn't need to be Wells Fargo. Fell to 25. As it was falling, the option prices were about 5. We listed them for 10 and waited for about 8 days before somebody purchased it from us. So we were paid $10 on a $25 commitment that went out 15 months. So it's a matter of writing these early, thinking very carefully about the exposure that you want to obtain, and listing them. I list them really far away from the current market price, and I let volatility do its work. And when they're purchased, I am typically genuinely surprised that somebody is willing to pay such an outrageous price to sell me their already inexpensive security.
Fascinating. Now, because when you enter those orders, they're kind of away from the market. So I assume in order to actually have some action, so to speak, you got to put in more orders than you really want executed. Is that true, or kind of,
I don't think that is wise. However, there are certain things you can do. You can almost create a matrix of these. So you can get a little bit diversification over time. What are the things that you would specify as you execute on this order, right? You would specify the price that you're willing to pay for the security, right? The stock that you're buying. So in the Berkshire scenario, you'd say we're willing to pay 165. You'd specify the duration of the contract. So maybe it goes out, you get paid for time, and I'm not trying to trade. So we typically and often go out a long, long time. The contracts on the ones we sold recently were September, that's 6 months. There are contracts that go out till June 2022. So you specify the time. And then you specify the price that you're willing to accept for this commitment to buy the securities. And those three variables all change, can all be adjusted. And you can actually set up a matrix of opportunities. So maybe you change the expiration date and you have you sort of split up your commitment to buy into these different buckets. You could adjust the strike price that you're willing to buy, and you could adjust the premium that you're willing to receive, just like you would a typical limit order on a security. And sometimes only a portion of them will be executed. The issue with overlisting, John, which is a major issue, is that really strange things can happen. If you go back to 2010, I believe there was a flash crash, and we had some of these securities listed. We actually made quite a bit of money on that day. This fund was launched in 2011, so this was before the existence of the fund. But had somebody overlisted those securities or written them and sort of had them out there available to sell, they could have been put in a pretty difficult situation if too many were purchased and they were overexposed and the market continued to fall. Perhaps there would be an issue.
And do you, it sounds like you keep your orders in overnight. Is that right?
I keep my orders in for months. So I will find a security I'm interested in buying. I will commit to the price that I'd like to pay. And if it, I mean, you know, all of this capital allocation is an opportunity cost analysis. And if it's the best opportunity at that price, given this particular contract, we will list that. And if no better opportunity comes along while that's listed, it will just remain in our orders in the portfolio. And one thing is, you know, you can have any number of these listed at one time. So certainly you can adjust things. And if one price becomes really attractive, you can certainly cancel other orders and put in new orders. So it's a kind of a dynamic situation, but certainly there are orders that sit there for months waiting for a moment like the flash crash, where people will pay you extraordinary premiums to purchase their inexpensive shares that you want to own.
So those are good till canceled orders, basically.
That's right. That's right.
And I guess hypothetically, you know, you have the order in. Overnight, some terrible news hits a company. I mean, the company is worthless, let's say. I guess you can cancel the order before the market opens, right?
That's right. That's right. So you can adjust things. It's similar to, look, if you have a broker and you've put in an order, we place all our own trades and we don't trade very frequently at all. You know, 13 positions in the portfolio with multi-year holdings, we're talking a few transactions a year. But if you're putting your orders through a broker, it's the exact same scenario. They may be buying over a period of days or weeks, even months. And if there's some adverse news or information that you receive, you would call them up and, you know, inform them to stop buying. So certainly you can always cancel the orders. But this is, I guess what's important to note is that this opportunity doesn't always exist. This scenario I just described with Berkshire Hathaway, where I received $18 for 165 strike put, is extraordinarily rare. The premium usually isn't worth the yield. I mean, the premium isn't worth the cash commitment, especially with a firm like Berkshire. You might end up with a $3 premium for 6 months, and it just doesn't, it stops making sense. So that is why when prices have dropped to these considerable levels, this opportunity exists, because the premiums have exploded to extraordinary levels. You know, SRG was an interesting example. Now they're dealing with all sorts of issues at the time, but the price has fallen from 45. I think some of the viewers will understand. Seritage is the Sears REIT spinoff, and there's a chance of it going under, but I think that chance is pretty small. Now we don't own any in our portfolio anymore. I'm just pointing out a scenario where the price has fallen from 45 to 5 last week, and you could receive a 2 or maybe more premium on a commitment to purchase it for 5 going out into about October. So that gives you a 66% return. If you get $2 on a $5 strike, you're getting $66 on your $3 commitment. And I don't want to go on too long here, John, but I will point out there's another aspect to this, which is in the crisis, if you have extraordinary upside with a security, you need to consider this very carefully, because if you don't buy the shares, your gains are capped. No one's ever complained about 66% return in 7 months. But I'll tell you what, SRG, since we were looking at this and didn't execute on it last week, I believe is up 150% through today. So obviously, again, you have to consider the true upside in the securities.
Very interesting. The VIX is a good gauge of overall market volatility or panic, I guess, in the market. How do you look at individual stock volatility that's priced into those stocks? Do you try to figure that out and kind of, basically for companies that are judged as more volatile according to some quantitative metric, you would get a higher premium for the puts? Or do you simply do your analysis, and if the premium is good enough, you go for it?
There are a couple of ways to look at that. So when you're looking at individual securities, these option contracts have what they call the Greeks, and one of them, Vega, is the volatility. So it's actually calculated for you through any standard prime broker. That volatility figure is very influential in terms of into the premiums affiliated with the securities. But the underlying analysis, the fundamental analysis, is the exact same as it would be in any other value-based fund. We're looking for deep value opportunities with strong financial statements. I particularly am fond of off financial statement value that I think maybe isn't being reflected through screens, and high quality management, et cetera, et cetera. That is the first step, identifying the equity, the investment that you would like to own and make. That is step number one. You don't want to invert the step and look for the highest volatility shares and start selling puts on those securities. You're doing this on an equity that you would like to own. It is at that point then you can check the market and just see where things are. And a lot of times when an equity gets to the point where we're interested in buying, there has been some type of event that has driven down securities. In this current scenario, I think that there has been a general sell-off. I think we are yet to reach a period where existing cash flows and the strengths of balance sheets are finally evaluated. And once that occurs, we'll probably see a rise in some of those securities. But in terms of the process here of looking at the Greeks, the first step is to understand the equity that you would like to incorporate into the portfolio. Then go look and see what is the best opportunity to buy this security. And in many cases, we find that the security has a high vega at that point, and that the premium amounts to perhaps 20% or so of the security. And it really just offers a margin of safety and a little bit of a little reduction of price below the market price that every other investor is paying.
And Matt, this is fascinating. So forgive me for so many questions, but I'm trying to understand how this could be implemented. I'm wondering, when you're kind of want to build a position, let's just say Seritage as an example. I know you're not in that, but in the last year, it's traded somewhere around $40 or $45 a share. And let's say if you sold puts to buy it at $30, you'd get a premium. So your effective purchase would be somewhat a bit lower than 30. But then the stock really trades way through that. Would you be selling more puts at lower strikes along the way to kind of increase that position? Or would you even consider at some point outright buying the I guess not, because if you've got the put strategy, but how do you think about kind of increasing the amount of puts you're willing to write as you can keep ramping down the strike price while getting a nice premium?
So the first thing I will say is try to approach this with a very practical mindset. You can almost try to forget about a whole bunch of business school knowledge or even CFA designation knowledge. Just think about it from a very practical mindset. What is your intention and what are you trying to accomplish? You are trying to buy a position and incorporate it into your portfolio. All this is one extra step in that allows you to reduce the price because a counterpart pays you a premium as you enter. That is all that's happening here. So if you would like to take a 10% portfolio position on a $100 million fund, you're going to allocate $10 million to, in this example, Seritage. Now, if you've written your contract and you fired a single bullet and you're putting $10 million in, you don't have any additional capital, depending on what your procedures are with your fund, you don't have additional capital to write more puts, right? The shares have declined. Now, if you've decided you're going to sort of step into the position, maybe you originally wrote 2% of your exposure and then you're bringing it up to 5% and then you're bringing it up to 10%. Now you can, of course, sell more puts. The interesting situation here is that when it's at 45, if you sold at 30, and maybe it had been falling, which made it attractive at 30, and perhaps let's just say hypothetically you picked up $5 for those $5 in premium as it passed 30. Now, if you had done your analysis properly and you found that valuation was much greater than 30, whether it was on a Graham valuation or a Phil Fisher valuation, if you understood that you were willing to purchase at 30, but you received a $5 premium for that, now you're purchasing at 25, and it falls to, Seritage is pretty unique, but let's talk this much, okay? So it falls from 30 to I think today it's at 12, we'll say 10, falls from 30 to 10. Now, what's happened? Had you not used the structured value approach from a practical perspective where you were allocating the amount that you were trying to put into your portfolio, had you not used it, you would have bought at 30 and you'd be down to 10 and you would have lost 66%. And you probably still hold and maybe you buy more. You know, fund managers treat this situation differently, cost average or whatnot. In our scenario, your net cash outflow is 25. So you now lose 15 on 25. And your loss, your risk of a permanent loss in capital has been reduced by the premium that you were paid as you entered your portfolio, this into your portfolio. So instead of buying for 30, you buy for 25. And if the stock falls to 10, instead of losing $20, you lose 15. And John, I really actually understand what you're asking here. So why don't I explain very briefly for you and anybody that's interested in this. There are really four scenarios, okay? And I'll just go from the bottom to the top. Scenario one is that you buy into a company and it goes all the way to zero. Okay, so just what does that look like? Well, it's like you bought the stock and it went to zero. Okay, it's a horrible situation. If you bought for 50 and it goes to zero, you lose 50 at times whatever allocation you had in your portfolio. If you got paid a premium of $10 and then it went to zero, now instead of losing 50, you lose 40, but it's still a terrible scenario. And that's scenario one. Scenario two is actually a scenario. It's a great scenario. And by the way, we'll call this Seritage example you use, 30 to 5 or 10. That's in the worst scenario bucket because it's not a great scenario. scenario two is that it declines a little bit, So you commit to buying Berkshire at 165, you get paid $18, and then it falls to 160, and they put the shares to you. That's the ideal scenario. So you make a little bit of premium, you buy it for a price that maybe the market never actually went to, and you get to own the shares. And now you bought the shares and you had a discount to market. You have a margin of safety that was embedded in the price that you paid, as well as probably security that you purchased. And now you're an owner for the long term. And that's scenario two. Scenario three is shares are flat, maybe go up a little bit. And in that scenario, your premium might perform, you know, can perform better than the shares do. And that's also a wonderful scenario. And then scenario four is the inverse of the Seritage that I just explained, where nobody complains when you sell a put with a strike of five, get $2, hold your $3 in collateral and make 66%. That's never been an issue for any of my clients. However, it bothers me quite a bit when the shares rally 150%. And I recognize that there was a opportunity that was missed. So there are sort of four general outcomes, all the way to zero, just a little bit down where you buy the shares, which is ideal, a little bit up where you make more in the premium than the shares, which is also fine. And then way up where you still make your premium and you have a good yield, but the shares went up a lot more and you would have done better owning the security.
Understood. Yeah. I guess that fourth scenario is really the risk to this strategy is that you would miss out on some multi-bagger upside if that stock just rallies in a straight line almost and never kind of goes down to where you get exercised and get in.
Yeah, that's right. And I do have some materials on this on our website if anybody wants to look further. I don't want to get further and further down this path. It is quite fascinating. It is quite lucrative. And especially in this scenario where you have such high volatility, especially with local securities, it's quite amazing. But I will, somebody can sit there and meditate on this a little while and come up with all sorts of solutions to the problems that we've discussed. So in the fourth scenario, if you're paid an extraordinarily high put premium, oftentimes the premiums have significantly shrunk on the call side. It's possible that you could take a small amount of that premium that you receive from the puts, buy a bit of an out of the money call so that the shares really do run. You at least get to capture the upside.
Well, Matt, thank you so much. I really appreciate you taking the time and your willingness to share this very interesting strategy and execution with our members. I think this is really, really helpful.
It's a pleasure to be here, John. Thank you very much for having me.
Thank you, and all the best to you and your family in this time.
Thank you, and you as well.
Goodbye for now.
Goodbye.